Please open your Bibles tonight to the book of Judges, to the book of Judges. You can look at chapter 17. First of all, we'll look at a verse there and then we'll be backing up a little bit. But Judges chapter 17 to begin with tonight. Just a short devotional thought about the Judge Samson. I'll just give you a little historical setting. Israel had captured the land, you recall. Joshua led in a campaign involving three different directions, to the north, to the south, and then the central campaign to take the land from the Canaanites. Joshua led in these campaigns, sort of captured the land, sealed it off. They were in control of it, but all of the inhabitants were not yet dispelled. They were still there. He divided the land among the 12 tribes, then he died, Joshua. It became the responsibility of each of the tribes to drive out the remainder of the inhabitants within its inheritance. And so they wouldn't all be together as a nation to fight these little battles. And instead of obeying God, they chose rather another path. Chapters 17 to 21 sort of give a little bit of the background of the moral decay, the social decay, the political decay that had gone on among the people of Israel during the time of the judges. So chapters 17 to 21, and we'll study these sometime together. I love to study through the book of Judges, but the historical narrative is not advanced in those chapters. It just sort of tells you some stories about how it was during that period. And so it only paints a picture of this moral decay that was going on. Twice in that word picture of these chapters, 17 to 21, you find these words, Judges 17 and verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." That is found again with the exception of the conjunction in the middle of it in Judges 21:25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." That was the condition of the spiritual condition of the people of Israel during those days. And during the time of the judges, because of their sin of idolatry and disobedience and immorality, Israel as a whole, miserably failed the Lord. They did. They were disobedient to Him, and they took up with the gods of the Canaanites and did everything that they had been warned against. God used the inhabitants that were left there in the land and then some surrounding peoples from other nations to chasten the people of Israel back into His fellowship. And that was a continuous thing during the time of the judges. When they would repent and call out to the Lord, He would send a deliverer. We call them the judges. He would send one of the judges to deliver them from their oppression. They would be restored then. The battles fought by the judges were scattered throughout the land. Something that's important to understand truly how the book kind of unfolds. Everybody wasn't together like in the campaigns, the conquest of the land when Joshua was their leader, but now they're in tribes and only certain areas are affected by certain oppression. And so those people of those areas would rise up with their judge and they would find deliverance because God would bless them for their repentance. A lot of wonderful pictures here for us. The cycle that took place in the judges, it was a vicious cycle. It repeated itself multiple times through that period. It began with the words that are in several verses, "And Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." Chapter 3 and verse 12, 10 and verse 6, 13 and verse 1. Israel continued to do evil in the sight of the Lord. So there was sin. God would send oppressors. And there would be under the thumb of some Canaanites or some surrounding people. Eventually, sometimes after years, they would repent of their evil. God would send deliverance and they would have a season of peace. They would forget what they had gone through. And before long, they had turned on the Lord and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they would start through the same cycle, a vicious cycle. This is a cycle that's common to man and to all mankind in all ages, isn't it? Can you relate? Sin, oppression, repentance, deliverance, peace. Sin, oppression, repentance, deliverance, and peace. And it happens over and over again. Doesn't it happen even in the life of an individual? The life of a country, the life of a family, it can happen. This cycle that begins with sin. The last of the judges mentioned in the book is Samson. His life contains a lot of lessons for us in the 21st century, most of them in the negative. We see in Samson what not to be. Someone has said, Samson, a man raised up by the Lord as the deliverer and judge over rebellious Israel, strangled a lion, yet he could not strangle his own love. He burst the fetters of his foes, but not the cords of his own lust. He burned the crops of others and lost the fruit of his own virtue when burning with a flame kindled by a single woman. And yet, we say there's no doubt, when you look at the scriptures, that in the beginning of his life, Samson was a sanctified servant. What does the word sanctified mean? He was set apart of the Lord. I want you to see that. If you would, go back to chapter 13 and verse 1. And I want us to see how Samson was set apart by the Lord. Early on, before he was born, it was in the mind of God to use this man to deliver or to start to deliver his people from the Philistines. Chapter 13 and verse 1, we'll read a rather lengthy portion here, several verses, follow along. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. How long? 40 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Their oppression, 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, or eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And so there are several things in those eight verses. There are several things in those verses that reveal to us that he was set apart. It was in the mind of God to set Samson apart. The first thing we see was from a barren womb in the first three verses there. Only choice servants of the Lord come from a barren womb. There are a few in the Bible. Isaac, you remember, the promised seed of old Abraham when he was 100 years old, when it was too late to have children, when Sarah had been barren all of her life, and God sent to a barren womb Isaac, the promised seed to Abraham. Another who was born of a barren womb was Samuel. God's voice to the people from the time of Judges and to the institution of the kingdom. When Saul came into office, into his kingdom. Samuel, from a barren womb. John the Baptist, remember, the forerunner who came into the world to introduce Messiah, came from a barren womb. All the people who came from a barren womb. So it's a way God marks the man at his birth. His life is set apart unto me. But first of all, First of all, before any of the other three, was this man, Samson. Samson, the last judge of Israel. And number two, in verses 4 to 7, he was a Nazarite. A Nazarite for life. The announcement was made to his mother. You don't drink the strong drink. And when he's born, don't cut his hair, she said. He's going to be a Nazarite from birth. There are only three Nazarites for life in the Bible. Samson was one of them. Can you tell me another? Samuel was a Nazarite, and John the Baptist was a Nazarite for life. Most Nazarite vows were taken by individuals for a period of time. It might be 90 days they take the vow of a Nazarite. And there's instruction given about how they might or how they must conduct themselves and what they must do if they take the vow of a Nazarite. Maybe that was the vow that Paul took in Acts chapter 18 and verse 18. After Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow, it says. We don't know. It doesn't say more of it than that, but maybe it was a Nazarite vow. Let me ask you to hold your place here in Judges and go back to Numbers chapter 6. Let's see what this is all about. What is this Nazarite vow? Exactly what does it mean? What can they do? What must they not do? There are three requirements given in the law of Moses back here in the book of Numbers, verses 1 to 8. I want you to see if you can pick them out. Maybe you already know, but pick them out. Know the verse that they're in. There are three requirements for a Nazarite. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, this is Numbers 6 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, no vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. Did you hear the last part? Don't eat grapes or raisins. Okay? Verse 4, all the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of his vow and his separation there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of his hair, the hair of his head, grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or his mother, or his brother or his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. What are the three things and where are they found? No fruit of the vine. No grapes, that would be verse 3 and follows, right?
No razor,
that would be verse 5. And what's the last one?
No dead person,
verses 6 and follows. So three things Samson was not supposed to do. Now you know the story of Samson. I'm not actually reading the whole story of Samson because I know that you know it. Did Samson keep his vow?
No.
Not exactly, did he?
No.
How about the hair?
No.
How about drinking strong drink? How about touching dead bodies? Probably not. You remember he killed all those Philistines? Hard to believe he could do that. Never touch a dead body, isn't it? Never come at a dead body. Samson's sanctification sort of stands out in the Bible. There are a number of things here that we see. Let me ask you a question. Can we compare ourselves to Samson? Are we in any way sanctified? Well, we sure are. The Bible tells us that we're sanctified. And we could think of a lot of things. We're chosen to live in these last days. We're privileged to look back to Christ rather than forward to Christ. We're holding the complete revelation of God. God has delivered that to us. We're living under the grace, the age of grace, rather than in the age of the law. We have access to the throne of grace. By bowing our heads, we enter right into the presence of God. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. God lives in us in the person of His Spirit. We're part of the brotherhood of all believers. We are commissioned of the Lord, are we not, to go out and to spread the gospel to all the world. And I would say that qualifies as being sort of set apart unto the Lord. His people, we are His people, called of the Lord to do something. So we, like Samson, are set aside, set apart, I should say. I want you to see in the next verses, we're back at Judges chapter 14 and verse 1, we'll start there. And look at some of his mistakes. Some of his mistakes. It says in verse 1 of chapter 14, Judges 14:1, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines." Is that a good thing? No. He's going to the enemy camp. He's going to the enemy camp to find him a girlfriend. Look at chapter 14 and verse 5. "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath." Does a red flag fly when you read that? No grapes. He doesn't need to go through the vineyard, does he? He doesn't need to be in the vineyard. Chapter 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Boy, he's blowing at every turn, isn't he? He's really steeped in sin. And then lastly, look at this portion in chapter 16 and beginning in verse 17. He's with Delilah now. Well, I didn't read chapter 16 and verse 4. "And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." And then chapter 16 and verse 17. "He told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I will become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him to sleep upon her knee, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he didn't understand, that the Lord was departed from him. So he did every kind of wrong, didn't he? And we didn't read everything, but you know the story. He made a lot of mistakes. He was a sanctified servant of God. And then we find him to be a sinner. Can you relate? Sanctified servants, sinners. See, we can relate. What do we learn from Samson's life right here? Because the only purpose of reading this tonight would be to pick up something we can apply to ourselves. We ought to take our vows before God seriously, don't you think? He does. God takes them seriously, and he says you better not. It'd be better if you didn't make a vow. Don't promise me something and then don't do it, he says, like Samson. Don't be caught involved in activities that are going on down in the enemy's camp. We shouldn't be involved. We shouldn't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We shouldn't be involved in the things of the world. Because the Bible tells us what? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Thirdly, we should lay aside the weight of the sin that so easily besets us. Do you have a besetting sin? We do, don't we? You have a sin that's really hard for you. Most people do. Some people have overcome besetting sins, only to find there's another one out there somewhere. Something else I need to have victory over. We can relate to this character, Samson, can't we? Lay aside our besetting sin. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So we need to lay aside our besetting sins. I would warn us all again tonight, beware of the sin that you think you can handle, that you can walk really close to without falling over the edge. You better be careful of that one. Can you relate to what I'm saying? Samson, the sanctified servant. Samson, the sinner. And then lastly, I want you to see Samson, the suffering saint. Suffering saint. Chapter 16 and verse 21. "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house." Suffering saint. Samson's eyes were put out. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Being born blind is one thing, but having your eyes, when you know what you're missing, wouldn't it be hard to lose your sight? Bound in brass. He's down at the prison grinding meal. I know what the pictures and all of the stories say, but it was a woman's job to grind the grain. He had lost everything that made him stand out. Everything that was special about Samson, it's gone now. And here he is imprisoned. Look at verse 30. "And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." He was saddened to the point of losing his desire to live, this sanctified servant. And he died a very tragic death. He pushed the columns out from under the house that he was in, and it fell on him, and he was killed in that tragic, tragic death. What can we learn? Brothers and sisters, if you can relate to the things that I'm saying, please relate to this. Christians will suffer for their sins. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 12 and verse 6. You can leave Judges and go there if you will. Hebrews 12, 6. There are besetting sins. Sometimes your sins show. Your wife sees them, or your husband sees them, your children see them. Sometimes your sins show. And we have besetting sins. We have sins that we easily fall into. We have sins maybe that we try to walk very close to without going overboard. And you need to be aware of the fact that verse 6, 12:6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." You're illegitimate. If you're not being chastened when you do wrong, you are not a legitimate child of God. That's what it says. You're not a legitimate child of God if you're not being chastened for your wrongdoing. We may serve the Lord with gladness before our life is marred with sin, but we'll probably serve Him with sadness once we indulge in the things of the world, the flesh, and the things of the devil. I want us to understand God is real. God, my God is as real in my life. Your God is as real in your life as Samson's God was in his life. There is no difference. We are sanctified servants of the Lord, called of God, sealed by His Spirit. We've received the down payment on our salvation. And yet we're still sinners. And our sin will reap consequences. But you know, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins, doesn't it? And He's our victory. It won't erase all the consequences, but I'll tell you what, it will restore your relationship with God right in the middle of the vicious cycle. Right in the middle. You can get right with God anytime you want to. And He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our God is real. Your God is real. And these words that I proclaim to you from the Old Testament could be found in the New Testament as well. Not once, but many times. Lessons from the life of Samson, one of the judges of Israel of old. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would bless these thoughts to our lives. Lord, make us to be different because we've been here tonight, to be doers of the Word and not forgetful hearers. Bless our prayer time. Lord, may it be pleasing to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.